Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter number 20. The outline is being distributed, so I'll just give us time to receive the outline. Give us time to settle down. And I think I'm waiting for somebody to give me a cue. I need a cue. Where's Mr. Bams? All right. Once Mr. Bams settles, we kick off. Acts chapter 20. And please listen and listen. I sense very, very strongly that what you will hear tonight will heal you. And what you will hear tonight will deliver you from that which wants to destroy you. We started this story last week from Acts chapter 20. And please listen attentively, because by the grace of God, I will encourage us to hear one instruction tonight that God is going to give, and then make up your mind you will carry out that instruction. So what you're waiting to hear right now is an instruction. An instruction. And please note it and write it down, because you are going to carry out the instruction. I don't know at what point the instruction will come, but listen. And let's listen with an open mind. An open mind like the disciples in Berea. In Acts chapter 17 verse 22. Sorry, Acts chapter 17 verse 11. The Bible says that the disciples, or the Christians in Berea, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why were they more noble? The Bible said with an open mind. That word noble, or received the word with a readiness of mind, is that they received the word of God that Paul was preaching, they received the word with all readiness of mind, with an open mind, and they searched. They examined, they cross-checked the scriptures, and they did it daily to see if those things were actually so. As the psalmist said, once God have spoken, God has spoken once have I heard. Or rather, sorry, God has spoken once, twice have I heard that all power belongs to God. So Acts chapter 20, and I will just reread to us, and please listen like you're waiting now with an open mind to receive. It's an open mind that receives. A closed mind does not receive. A biased mind also does not receive. An open mind. So we're reading the scriptures like you've never heard it before. In verse 1, there was an uproar that ceased. And the Bible says, after the uproar ceased, Paul called. And please let's note the people Paul called. He called unto him the disciples, and he embraced them. One version says, after encouraging them, he said to them, he bade them farewell, and he departed to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement or exhortation, he went there to encourage the believers there. He now came to Greece. And then when he got to Greece in verse 3, the Bible said he stayed in Greece He spent 3 months in Greece. And the Jews, they were plotting against him as he was about to sail into Syria. He decided to return through Macedonia. And verse 4 now says that there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. What we began to look at was a focus on these people who accompanied Paul on this missionary trip. If you count these people, there are 7 mentioned here that accompanied him. Now, we can take so many things out of these 4 verses of the scriptures. We can see how he moved, how he got to a place, how he spent 3 months there, and then a plot was made by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, and then he decides to return through Macedonia. But there were 7 brethren who were going with him. And last week we began to look at these 7 companions. And we titled it 7 Companions You Need in Life. Now, it's a principle that I believe the Spirit of God is expanding to us. These companions are not necessarily people, but there can also be people, as we will see. What we want to draw out and what we began to draw out from these people, the names here are principles that can help us. You see, the Word of God is so real, so alive, that every time you open, if you seek, you will find. If you ask God to speak to you just from a verse of the scripture, God will speak to you. If you ask God to speak to you just from one word, that word might just be birth. You saw a birth in the scripture. And you ask God to speak to you through that birth, God will speak to you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. It's what you ask for that you receive. It's what you seek for you will find. If you are seeking for God, if you are seeking that God should speak to you through a simple verse in the scripture, God will speak to you, because that's the principle of the Word of God. It's what you seek you will find. It's what you knock that will be opened. So knocking, asking and seeking and knocking through the scriptures, we drew some things out of these 7 names. So if you missed last week, I will encourage you, because it will make a lot more faith when you can balance last week and this week, so that you can join the pieces together. Now, we saw the first person here, who was Sopater, and we looked at something to do with the name. And Sopater, from those who were here last week, what does his name Sopater mean? Savior of his father. Yeah. What else did we glean from that? Please check your notes. Right? We saw that. A safe companion. Please, can we get a microphone quickly so that those who can remember. Just get us a microphone. Yeah. Companion number 1 that you need is a Sopater. Sorry? Someone with an open mind that is willing to learn. You don't need people with closed minds accompanying you. Sopater is from Berea. Okay, the second companion we saw there is who? Aristarchus. And who is Aristarchus? What did we glean from there? What did you learn from there?
Best ruler.
Sorry?
Best ruler.
A best ruler. Just tell us the principle you learned from an Aristarchus, which you noted. This is a Bible study. I want to do less of teaching this year so that we can all study together and hear what God is saying to us individually. What can you glean from Aristarchus? The name literally means the best ruler. So ruling has to do with not just lording over you, but leading, guiding. The best ruler you need when you're on any journey, anywhere you want to go, is a ruler that is inside you. We saw that from the book of Ephesians. Is it? No, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. What's that best ruler? The peace of God. Let it always rule in your heart. Anything you want to do, no matter what the circumstances are looking like, always refer to the peace of God. Let me tell us, every one of us has got that peace. If you are a child of God, God will give you the peace which passes all understanding. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, confirms, bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. There are some things you want to do and you lose your peace. You just feel uncomfortable. You want to go ahead to say yes to this brother, but you can't explain it. You just feel uncomfortable. There's nothing wrong with this brother. There's nothing wrong with this sister. But there's something wrong on the inside of you. You can't explain it. That's why the Bible says that peace is a peace which passes all understanding. You know, passes all understanding. Let me just drop in this story. I've shared it many years ago. It was a sister. I was in this fellowship, in this part of this church. And this lovely brother, who was a man of God, and she was engaged to be married to this brother. And then all of a sudden she said, I just can't explain. I can't marry him. I don't want to go ahead with this relationship. But there's nothing wrong with this man. We know him. We can testify of his faith. She said, I can't explain. We prayed with her. She never lost that peace, that inner peace. So painfully, she had to cut off going ahead to marry this brother. Can I tell you, just I think less than 2 years after she made that decision, the brother went to be with the Lord. God, who sees and knows ahead of time, warned her. If she had gone ahead and married, she would have been a widow. Now, we are not making light of that or trying to make it look very bad. Nothing wrong with the brother. He had finished his course and he went to be with the Lord. How many years did Jesus spend on the earth? 33 years. If somebody dies at the age of 33, we will probably say their destiny was cut short. But excuse me, if you finish your course and God decides to take you home at that age, God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And who knows if he had lived on, perhaps could have backslided or gone into some error, but God knows. These are some things that we have to start learning to comfort ourselves. As if the Spirit of God permits, sometimes this year I was laid in my heart to share, I don't know when, but I will share it, how to grieve in a godly way. How to grieve in a godly way. The Bible recognizes that we shall grieve. Something unexpected happens, we're allowed to grieve. But the scriptures just tells us that we should grieve not as unbelievers. We should learn to mourn as believers. So we will look at that, but that's just an aside. So the peace of God is a very good companion. So if you want to make that decision and you're still wondering, please check that inner peace. If it's not there, if you still feel uncomfortable, unexplainable, it's better to wait on the Lord before you move on. Third companion is who? Secundus. And that was where we stopped last week. Secundus literally means blessed, fortunate, empowered to prosper. And we looked at it. Please always make sure that the companionship you keep is a blessed one. The Bible says that those who walk with wise men will be wise. Those who company with fools will be destroyed. Look at it from this angle. Those who walk with blessed people will be blessed. And those who walk with cursed people, people operating under a curse, if you're not careful, it will also affect you. Who is a blessed man? We saw from Psalm 1. Blessed is that man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or the counsel of the wicked, or of evil. He doesn't sit. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Please watch those who give you ungodly counsel. They give you company you keep that give you counsel that is not biblical. No matter how spiritual they may sound, is it biblical? Is it according to the word of God? Excuse me, there's a difference between a good counsel and a right counsel. Somebody can give you a good counsel. It sounds good, but is it right? The Bible says that all unrighteousness is sin. In other words, anything that is not right before God, no matter how good it looks or seems or appears, is sin. So check the counsel you are receiving right now. Don't stop with what is good. Please move on and make sure that it is right. Let me give us a scripture in Romans chapter 12. Who knows what is in Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2? It says, I beseech you, I appeal to you, therefore, my brothers, my brethren, my brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you should present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable or pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, verse 2 now says that don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to test and approve, listen, what is good. But don't stop at the good. What is acceptable? Don't stop at is acceptable. And what is what? The perfect will of God. Some of us stop at the good. It sounds good. Is it acceptable? It sounds acceptable. Is it right before God? Is it God's perfect will? So these are things that will guide us as we make decisions. Guide us as we move and journey through the waters of life. You're about to make some crucial decisions. Please don't stop with a good decision. Go ahead, check it with the word of God. Is it acceptable before God? Is it God's perfect will? I have personally learned in my own little private and public walk with God that there have been times I found myself in what looked like the good will of God. Bible scholars say the permissible will of God, which is not his perfect will. I remembered many years ago when I flew into this country, 21st of June 2002. I recall that the moment I landed in this country, the first thing that crossed my mind was, I am not staying in this country. No way. Everything was new. Everything was different. I understood what a cultural shock meant. The first shocker was knowing which side of the car to enter, because the person who came to pick me told me to sit in front. And I was going to sit, and I found out the steering was by that wheel. First shocker. Mind you, I had not seen my wife, nor I think the last time I saw our first son then was, he was barely 2 years old. I had not seen them for exactly 365 days. Because that day was exactly 365 days I saw them last. I had not seen them. And in spite of all the joy of reconciling with the family, seeing the family after a whole 365 days of not seeing each other. So we had a lot of catch up to do. I could recall asking I think it was almost three then, barely 3 years old. I was asking him, that was Noah. The first thing I asked him was, do you know me? I was glad. He said, yes. I said, who am I? He said, my daddy. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Because his mom kept showing him my picture for one whole year. But this is where I'm going. Days after, I just kind of was completely unhappy. I looked around me and I started, reality dawned on me. This is like starting my life all over again. I know what I left behind, where I came from. Am I just going to give up everything and come here and just settle here? I made up my mind. I was going back to my country. Clearly, and I told God, and I told my wife. And I will always say this, and I'm eternally grateful to my wife. Thank God for a faithful companion. We've been companions now for 21 years plus. I have no regret, because I know I was in the perfect will of God to marry her. I can say that till kingdom come. And I can say that when I stand before Jesus to give account. She told me, after I told her that I am going back to the country, said, well, if that's your decision, then we are all going back. We've suffered here for 365 days before you came. If that's your decision, we go back. But, please, somebody say, but. I'm telling you, God can speak to you with just one but. She said, but. Okay, is it but or bet? But. Okay, but. All right. B-U-T. Okay. But remember why we came here. That's all she said. I said, okay, I am going to pray and I'm going to fast. And I remembered waiting upon the Lord for 3 days. I was restless, seriously restless, somewhere I've never been, just came to the UK for the first time in my life. And I was praying, and I remembered God speaking to me as he was speaking to Abraham and Lot. God spoke to me, I think twice from that scripture, when I was going to make another crucial decision of my life. I'm sharing this because somebody needs to hear this. Remember the story of Abraham and Lot? Abraham was Lot's uncle. Lot followed his uncle Abraham. And because God's blessing was upon Abraham. See, that's why it's key. Please always look for blessed people and work with them. Let me digress. I met someone today. And wow, this guy, from the conversation, and I know it wasn't just an ordinary conversation. It was where I usually park, and he happened to be the owner of the car park. And the machine there had broken down. And he just engaged me in a conversation. I hope he's hearing this. I would love him to hear this. Because I've been praying for him since I met him. That God Almighty will open the book of remembrance concerning him. Just because of what his grandfather did. Let me tell you what his grandfather did. And please remind me, I'm telling you a story of our conversation. His grandfather, he told me that his grandfather went to Africa and as a missionary, and his grandfather labored so much in Africa that he built schools. He began to bring his phone out and he showed me all the schools and churches and showed me the first church in Zambia. Anyone from Zambia here, you've got relatives in Zambia. I think we know some people from Zambia, right? That this is the first church in Zambia. My grandfather built it in this particular, he told me the location. I said, I don't know. He began to show me all the things that his father was a missionary to Africa. That when his father was about to die, he had built like 100 and something plus schools all across Zambia. And he handed them over to the government. Showed me all the things. Was, you know, I was just going to pay and I met this guy and he began to tell me stories. I don't think that's an accident. So I told him, I am a missionary too. That I came to England as a missionary. That what you've just shared with me has encouraged my heart so much. That, you know, we've exchanged numbers and all that. We will catch up by the grace of God. And I'm praying for him since then. His name is Alan. I've met many Alans. Never met this one, this kind. Now, this is what he told me. He said he learned to do business by relating, companying with the Jews. Some of us may hate Jews. It's called anti-Semitic. Well, that's your problem. Are you getting me? But he said he learned to do business with the Jews, that he found out that the moment he started doing business with them, he was prospering. Let's leave it there. Abraham, God called him and said, I'm blessing you. And through you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. If you are smart, look for Abraham and work with Abraham. That's a rema. Now, back to me. I went back to God and I was praying. And God clearly told me, look at Abraham, look at Lot. Lot was the boat prospered. Lot prospered because of his association with his uncle. He became very big also. He had herds, he had cattle, and so much more that the space they had, the land could not contain the wealth they had both acquired. And God spoke, or rather, there was now going to be strife and fighting between Lot's people, his possessions, his herdsmen, and his uncle Abraham's people and his herdsmen. So Abraham, faithful, lovely uncle, just told his nephew Lot, let's not fight. Don't let our people fight. All we have to do here is to choose. Right? You choose. If you choose to go north, I will choose to go south. If you choose to go east, I will go west. Just choose. That's what we should do. An elder told the younger that that's the decision they should make. Excuse me. If you are smart and an elder is telling you to choose, please always allow the elder to choose first. That's another rema for somebody. Right? Always Because it is by virtue of your association with that elder that brought you to where you are. You are the benefactor of that elder. But what did Lot do? Lot chose first. He didn't wait for his uncle. Since the uncle has given him a blank check, he decided to write what he wanted on the check. Please, when an elder gives you a blank check, please ask, what should I write on it? That's another rhema for somebody. All right, let's go on. But these things will be interpreted to you by the Spirit of God. Now, Lot, the Bible said, he looked and he saw that a certain part of that land where they were was well watered. That place looked so, it was fertilized, it was flourishing, and he probably thought he was smarter than his uncle. And the Bible said he chose that land. No problem. Uncle Abraham just allowed him to go and choose what he wanted, to have what he had chosen. And you know the rest of the story. Go and read the book of Genesis. But what happened was where he chose, which was well watered, that looked so prosperous, ended up becoming Sodom and Gomorrah. He lost everything he had for choosing. And after he left, God spoke to his uncle. You know what? Look right, look left, look north, look east, look west. I've given you everything. Do you know everything God told he gave Abraham included where even Lot chose? Please tell somebody, don't play too smart. No, don't play too smart. Where am I going? God spoke to me. When you are making decisions and choices, don't choose by what you see physically. Choose by what I say that you can see and you will see. What God says to us is usually promises. And what is a promise? Promise is futuristic. Our problem is that we want instant gratification. Something you will just get now, but not with God. God will tell you, go this way and you will end up prosperous. The path of the just is as a shining light. It doesn't shine suddenly. The Bible says it shines more and more unto the perfect day. You want instant shining and instant perfection. Not with God. From God is from glory to glory. From faith to faith. From patience unto patience. From strength to strength. Otherwise, you know, somebody said it, I don't know if it's a joke, but the first man God made him, he was a full-blown adult. He created him. And that man messed up. The second Adam, he made sure he started as a baby. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience through the things he suffered. The Bible says that the child waxed strong in spirit, and the child grew in stature, in it was growing in wisdom and with favor with God. God spoke to me. Do you want my will? Or do you want my perfect will? In fact, that's not what God told me. Let me tell you what God told me when after I prayed. Clearly, I will never forget in my life. That's how I know I'm in the perfect will of God. And every time things shake, I remember this story I'm sharing. And I'm sharing it because somebody needs to hear it. I remembered studying the scriptures, the book of Genesis, and God spoke to me. God said, you can go back to your country, Nigeria, if you want. Go back to your pastoral, to the church you were pastoring. Go back to the managerial job, because I just got, oh boy, I'd labored all my life, and I just got promoted to a managerial post. And I was enjoying the fruit of my, just about when I went on leave. I said I was going on leave. Anyway, leave became left. Right? I was going on leave to come and see my family that I'd not seen in a year. And God said, you can go and return. Or you can stay in this country where I brought you as a missionary. Now, excuse me. When you look at, let's play with titles. They ask you to choose between a missionary and a bank manager who's wealthy and who has a very big church. Which one will you choose? I leave it with you. And God told me I should know one thing. If I go back to Nigeria, I'm going out of his perfect will. I said, Lord, I think I've suffered long enough to know that God's permissive will is not the best. So I said, Lord, but it's like I'm starting my life all over again. And God spoke to me. Somebody needs to hear this. God told me, no, you're not starting all over again. I am taking you to the next phase of your life. Just one word can make the difference. I thought I was restarting. God said, no, you are going to the next phase of your life. So I surrendered. Right there and then, I wrote my letter of resignation. Sent it to the bank in Nigeria. Informed the church in Nigeria I wasn't coming back. Of course, the church in Nigeria were happy to, you know, get rid of me. Not that I was stubborn, but they were just happy that a missionary, that they sent a missionary to the UK. And it cost me also. Let me tell you what it cost me, because I had to pay the bank 1 month in lieu of notice that I was leaving. So it cost me. I paid to resign. But God told me that was his perfect will. I just share that for somebody to hear. It comes at a price. But this is 16, going to be 17 years after. If you ask me, I thank God I made that decision. Absolutely no regret. And I thank God that I had a companion who told me I should remember why we came to this country. I thank God for my wife, my beloved wife, in whom I'm well pleased. So let's go to the last T. T, T. Last week we looked at Sazgit. When you put all these names together, you will get Sazgit. S, Sopater. A, Aristarchus. S, Secundus. The G is Gaius. What can we glean? 7 companions you need in life. Number 4, companion. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wherever we stop tonight, I sensed we wouldn't complete this tonight. But I said I would just try. And while I was praying upstairs, I just sensed the Holy Spirit was saying, don't rush. Don't rush this. Because to me, I want us to get Sazgit out of the way. So if we stop at G today, or T, or Sakt. So we've covered Sakt. All right, Gaius. What can we glean from Gaius? That was the fourth companion. Gaius, please, can we calm these children down? Let's just calm them. Let's calm them. Children are the heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is God bless the children. I love the children. And please don't be discouraged. Please, I hope the person who went there can still hear. If not, open the door so that they can hear. Let me tell us something again. This is as an encouragement, a serious encouragement, and somebody needs to hear it. You see, there are some prices you have to pay. When the church was starting and all that, we were in our house. I'll save the story for next week. Right, for almost 2 years, just four of us, we had had an addition to the family, which was baby Joshua. By the time Joshua was over a year, God instructed us to go and start public meetings outside our house. Clearly, I will tell you all the stories. I can trace all the steps of how God has been leading us. But in those days, our baby Joshua, each time I start teaching, that's when he would start screaming. When we started the public meetings, he would just all of a sudden scream. That's when he's noisy. And then the mom will have to take him maybe outside, aside. In fact, those days he was outside. Remember, you have to go outside at times. She will feel very, very sad. And then we will pray. We bind. We loose. Next time we do service again, I stand to start preaching. He's not crying when we are singing. It's when I start preaching. This went on and on and on. Somebody say, from glory to glory. This is Joshua now. Is he screaming? Glory be to God. Please tell somebody, you have need of patience after you've done the will of God. Because the will of God you are embarking to do. Please say it. Tell the person. Will be tried and tested. At times you will want to give up. But don't give up. Gaius means Lord. You need the Lord as your companion. But one of the things about Gaius is that if you look at the man, so let's look at the man Gaius. We've looked at the spiritual, which is the Lord. You agree with me? Everywhere you go, you better go where the Lord goes with you. Don't ever go where the Lord is not. Right? But this man, Gaius, according to Romans chapter 16, verse 23, Paul revealed something about him. He was very hospitable. In Romans chapter 16, verse 23, he played host to Paul and also to the church. His house was open. It was hospitable. You need companions that are hospitable. Please don't move with. What's the opposite of hospitable? Hostile. You know people that you will be walking with and it's always fight, 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 hostility. Always one argument after the other. Always trying to prove you are right, you are wrong, I am right, you are wrong. You don't need such companionship. What value will that add to my life? I'm still trying to get my way, and then I'm having a companion who's just always trying to tell me and just be hostile and then distract me. You don't need such. That was not the man Gaius. It was host, Paul said, to me and to the whole church. Right? You need a companion who will stand with you, stand for you, and stand by you. That's what you need. The Bible says that there, a brother There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The Bible says that, I'm trying to get it, a scripture. I don't want to misquote it. It talks about a friend will love you at all times. It's in Proverbs, but let's get where it is. I hope I'll get it. Friend love it at all times. Can anybody find that scripture to us? Because it compares two things there also. Proverbs 17:17. Oh yes, I should have remembered that. 17:17. Please bring it on. A friend loves when? Not a fair weather friend. He loves you at all times. That was a chaos. A brother is born for adversity. How you know a true friend is that they love you at all times. Now, the word host that Paul used to describe chaos in verse 23 of Romans 16, if you bring chaos, literal meaning Lord, and host together, you will get Lord of hosts. That's something the Holy Spirit is amplifying to us. Who is this Lord of hosts? You need the Lord of hosts. When the Bible describes God as the Lord of hosts, it shows us one attribute of God, the Lord God of hosts. Let's see this in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 3 quickly. And then let's see Proverbs 24 verse 10. And we're ending with chaos tonight. So the first scripture is 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 3. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship, to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Go to Psalm 24 verse 10. That Psalm 24 verse 10 now describes this Lord of hosts. All right, let's go. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. You need the Lord of hosts with you. What's that attribute of God signifying? When you see Lord, listen, capital L-O-R-D. It took me some time to realize that there are two Lords in the Bible. It still describes God. There's the one, anytime you're reading the scripture and you see capital L-O-R-D, that is the word Yahweh. When the choir was singing tonight, I said, yes, this is the Spirit of God. Yahweh, it means Jehovah, the self-existent one. The one who exists by himself. He doesn't need your support. You need his support. You need that support of the Lord to accompany you anywhere you're going. Moses said it, Lord, don't carry us away from here if your presence will not go with us. You need the presence of God to accompany you. The presence of the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Yahweh. And when you see host, do you know what that means? Host talks about the armies, the heavenly armies. The armies of heaven, the angels. The Bible says that we have, when we gather, we've come onto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, and to the company, to the innumerable company of angels. You need angelic assistance. Brethren, angels are real. I'm telling you. The Bible teaches us about angels, but let's not divulge too much about angels tonight. And let's just limit it to the Lord of hosts. The Lord, the one who doesn't need any support, who is in charge of the heavenly armies who fight on your behalf. They are the ones who engage in warfare. They are the ones who fight invisible battles that you and I don't see. You slept at night. You woke up in the morning. You don't know what the hosts of heaven have done on your behalf. How many of us have slept before? And then you just feel something pressing you, like you are going to die. Oh boy, I used to have that thing. It's not done me in a while. Maybe because I'm older and smarter now, to know that I'm not alone. The Bible says that the angels, they have been sent forth to minister for those of us who are the heirs of salvation. You have, even Jesus taught about it. He said that a child has an angel assigned to the child that is beholding the face of the Father. That's why Jesus told us, don't mess with little children. Don't. The Lord of hosts. And guess what? I'll end with this. David went to confront Goliath. Goliath swore by his gods, brought staves and javelins. David said something. You! Please, let's bring it up. Who knows where it is? Bible study. Bring it up. Bring it up. 1 Kings 17, verse. Look at this. Why you need this company of the Lord of hosts? Gaius. Yeah. 1 Kings Samuel. 1 Samuel 17. Where he said, you come to me, and I come to you in the name of the Lord. the God of the armies. Bring it up quickly. We've got to close here. I'm not going to talk. 1726. 1 Samuel 1726. Here, David, you need this company. Right? The battle is the Lord's. David spoke to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine? 17. Okay. All right, let's read it in context. And takes away the reproach of Israel. For who is this uncircumcised that he should defy the armies of living God? Verse 27. And his people answered him after blah, 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 blah. 28. And Eliab, 29. 30. 31. 32. 33. 34. 35, 36, 37. Okay, that's it. That's it. Wait there. Wait there. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. This is David talking. This Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. That's the Lord of hosts he was talking about there. Who fights? He doesn't even need to fight. He sends his angels. Okay, let's read on. So 45, let's jump to 45. Hear what David said to Goliath. Then David said to this Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Everybody saw Goliath. Everybody saw something insurmountable, but David saw an uncircumcised Philistine. Please rise to your feet tonight. Talk to God right now. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. If yours is a battle, please call upon the Lord of hosts. Call upon the God of the armies of Israel. The battle is more than you. But some of us, God has spoken to us in different ways. So I'll give us a minute. Please, please, whatever God has spoken to you right now, start talking back to God. In the course of this exposition tonight, please talk to God. Please pray. Some of us, right, need to understand the battle we're fighting now. You don't have to fight it in your name. You don't have to fight it with physical weapons. The battle and the arsenal the enemy has brought against you is bigger than you. It will literally kill you. But know who will fight your battle. You do not need to fight in this battle, God said. Hold your peace, for the battle is the Lord's. But you still need to confront the Goliath. But this time, in the name. Please leave that scripture on the screen. You need a chaos. You need a chaos. You need a chaos. Please thank God. Some of us, you've received what you wanted to hear. Pray about it. Some of us need to pray. Some of us need to address. Some of us need to go back and listen to this message and then use it to pray. But before you pray, study again. Check these scriptures. Please, let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. If you don't know what to pray about, Lord, I pray right now we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us to pray. Please pray in the Spirit. If you can pray in the Spirit all over the place. Lord, I ask for a fresh baptism. Baptize everyone here now with the power of your Holy Spirit. It's not by power, it's not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Open your mouth now and begin to pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Is anybody here tonight? You are here tonight. You've never prayed in the Holy Ghost before. Step out right now. Just lay hands on you. Step out right now. Come here. I will lay hands on you and you will begin to pray in the Spirit. Don't be shy. You've been hungry for this. Come. 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 This kind of call does not always come. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Step out here now. Step out. As you're stepping out, be thanking God that He has filled you with the Holy Spirit. Anybody? More. 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 You cannot pray in the Holy Ghost. You cannot pray in tongues. Come out. Come out. Come out. Rada sete brande hesekete brada la baba yagada. Lembrodosko. Those of you outside, lift up your hands right now. Father, baptize this one. Say, Lord, give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands like you're about to receive. Say, Lord, baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I ask you. My Father, I ask you, give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. I ask you and I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit right now. Open your mouth and begin to thank God. Begin to speak. Begin to speak. Yes, as I lay hands on you, begin to speak. Lift up your hands. Begin to speak. Speak in the Holy Ghost. Speak in the Holy Ghost. Lord, baptize these children. That's it. That's it. With our hands laid on you, you've started praying in tongues. Begin to pray. That's it. Just pray, pray, pray. As the Spirit gives you utterance. Rada sete branda calabrodo se sebrada kashutumbra hadekelada. Rata sete bra. You don't understand what you're saying. Rakata sambrindos. That's it. That's it. Thank you, Father, for baptizing these children. Baptize these children. Baptized. Breathe. Breathe. Drink. 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 Pray. Pray. Rada bosete branda hadekele branda hashikete branda laba. Rakabaya sete branda kolosondo bra. Just continue to pray. Continue to pray. Rada sete branda hakala brodo koshete branda laba laba. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. Rakatambra hande brede lobogo. It's beyond understanding. If you try to understand it, you will not pray. If you try to understand what you're saying, you will not. You will not be able to pray. You pray as the Spirit gives you utterance. Just utter, utter. Rada sete branda hangale hikilada. Renda hale brende hatikitu sudrenda la labaga. Rablete sutu branda kaloko shete bra. Thank you. Thank you. Some of you are filled already. Don't stop. Don't stop. Just keep praying. Rende sete branda kalabrodo ko shete bra laba. Lord, surprise these children. Surprise these children. Thank you for giving us disciples. Randa kaseto branda kalabrade kishetu brada baba. Thank you for adding to your church daily such as should be saved. Just continue to pray. Be filled. Be filled. That's it. Rataskende brundo ko shete bra. Yes, Lord, I address every power, principality, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places, anything militating against us as a church, militating against any one of us individually, militating against every family, we come against in the name of Jesus.